The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 11th of December, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We've got lots to talk about today. Today is International Mountain Day. I don't want the Bahamas to feel left out, if you guys remember that we have our own mountain. It's Mount Como, the highest point in the Bahamas. You could text in and tell me if you know what island, Mount Como is on, where you can find it, where you could climb it. Anyway, good morning. It's a Wednesday. We are at the end of the Equality Bahamas' 16 days global activism campaign to end gender-based violence and violence against women and girls. We had a full week. I want to say thank you to Equality Bahamas, to Ponciana Paper Press, to Stacey Ann Chin, and to all the partners that made this year's Global 16 Days campaign successful. We had a wonderful time writing our rage, exploring the things that anger us and why we are justified in our rage. In today's Tribune, Alicia Wallace, also founder and executive director of Equality Bahamas, her column today speaks specifically to that issue, writing our rage, and it features four pieces of work by Nikki Giovanni. Nikki Giovanni is a public intellectual, and she passed away recently within the last few days. It is a wonderful spread column today by Miss Wallace. And Ponciana Paper Press, I want to shout them out one more time for providing the space for a number of workshops, a number of projects. We made stamps to stamp images and words. We made rage books. We made zines, little small zines, small little pamphlets with awesome messaging on it. We had a Write Your Rage workshop with Stacey Ann Chin. We had a number of workshops and discussions with Bahamians and women abroad, right? It's a great time. Tonight, Equality Bahamas hosts Women's Wednesdays. The guest speaker tonight is Miss Tanisha Pinder. The topic, NHI, Making It Work For You. The link to register for the Zoom discussion is tiny.cc/NHI2024. tiny.cc/NHI2024. I think it's going to be in more than interesting and edifying, educational conversation tonight. And you should tune in because NHI's got to work for all of us. Now, the answer to the question, Como Hill is on Cat Island. It's Mount Alvernia. I didn't want to like give the whole name away. Mount Alvernia is the name of our mountain. And it is on Cat Island. Whenever you yearning, producer, do we have a Junkanoo version of Country Roads? I can't believe I forget the boy name. Country Road. Do we have a Junkanoo version of Country Roads? By John Denver? Country Road, take me home to the place. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Mount Alvernia, take me home. We ain't got that, eh? Okay, no problem. No problem. I sure I hear that before, though. Hey, man, plenty people know where Mount Alvernia, a.k.a. Como Hill, is. Plenty people know. So I got about three subjects I want to touch on this morning. They're all very interesting. The first, of course, is Junkanoo. We knew the conversation was going to continue. It's a very important conversation. It has global implications, eh? There's also this headline, $185 million deficit in first quarter of fiscal year. Also another story. But here's a story that I had lined up for today. I'm going to start with this story briefly. I'm going to link it to a local story. So the U.S. is on the path to outlawing TikTok in the U.S. And I think this is a discussion that we should be having locally. Why? Because our cousins in Jamaica are already having the conversation. In fact, they were having the conversation from earlier this year. And so I wanted to ask the question here locally, are we concerned about the potential U.S. ban on TikTok? I'm trying to have a little conversation here and there about it to see if people were aware, were thinking about it. But more importantly, what I am interested in is, have we seen, has there been published, or is any local agency working on a policy statement, right, in regard to this decision that is being made in the United States of America? I figured that we should be hearing from the Ministry of National Security. And why should we be hearing from the Ministry of National Security? Well, because the U.S. lawmakers fear the Chinese government could force ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, to hand over data about TikTok's 170 million U.S. users. TikTok insists it would not pay the Chinese government. Right? And so I'm reading from an article, U.S. TikTok ban, when and why could the app be outlawed? This is the BBC, 7th of December. And so if one of the reasons that TikTok may be banned in the U.S. is because lawmakers fear the Chinese government could force the company's owner to hand over data about TikTok's 170 million users, U.S. users, then my question is, should we expect a policy statement from government agencies or a collective of government agencies, including, I think, the Ministry of National Security, right? Ministry of Foreign Affairs, IRCA, Ministry of Social Services, Broadcasting and Information, and possibly even Ministry of Tourism. Because if it's a national security issue, should we not be considering whether it is also an issue that we should be concerned about? Now I'm going to read from the article. TikTok has suffered a setback in its fight against a law which will ban it in the U.S. unless it is sold by ByteDance, its Chinese parent company. In December, a court in the U.S. rejected its attempt to appeal the law. That's TikTok's attempt to appeal the law, passed in April, paving the way for its potential ban. The video sharing app has millions of users worldwide, but has faced questions over the security of data and links to the government in Beijing. Right? So we know U.S. lawmakers want to ban it. We know why. They say they fear there's a national security risk. President Joe Biden signed a bill paving the way for TikTok's forced sale. Previous attempts to block the app in the U.S. on national security grounds have failed. Donald Trump tried to ban the app while he was in the White House in 2020, But he now criticizes the new legislation during his successful bid to return as a U.S. president, arguing that limiting TikTok would unfairly benefit Facebook, which is interesting. So when could TikTok be banned? Mr. Biden, an immediate U.S. ban for TikTok, but it did start a ticking clock. The legislation gives ByteDance 9 months to sell TikTok to a new buyer with an additional 3 month grace period before any ban would take effect. TikTok said this could mean it is either forced to sell or shut down in the U.S. by the 19th of January, 2025. That's 1 day before Trump's inauguration. But the company's fight against the legislation in court, which began when it sued to block the law in May, could take years. Trump's victory, though, may throw TikTok a lifeline. The president-elect said in the run-up to the November elections that he would not let a ban take effect. Well, how would a TikTok ban work? The most straightforward way for the U.S. to ban TikTok would be to remove it from app stores, such as those operated by Apple and Google for iOS and Android devices. App stores are how most people download apps onto their phones and devices, so the ban would stop new users from getting TikTok. It would also mean that people who already have the app would no longer be able to get updates designed to improve security or fix bugs. The bill forbids applications controlled by U.S. adversary countries from being updated and maintained in the U.S. It gives broad powers to the president to limit apps with ties to Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. Is TikTok banned in other countries? The bill could inspire similar moves elsewhere, and that's one of the questions I want to ask today. Do you think our government is going to ban TikTok? More importantly, do you think our government is going to ban TikTok without having a conversation with us, the people? TikTok is already banned in India, which was one of the app's largest markets before it was outlawed in June 2020. It is also blocked in Iran, Nepal, Afghanistan, and Somalia. The UK government and parliament banned TikTok from staff work devices in 2023, as has the European Commission. The BBC also advised staff to delete TikTok from corporate phones because of security fears. How does TikTok work and how much user data does it collect? At the heart of TikTok is its algorithm, a set of instructions which determines which content is presented to users based on data about how they engaged with previous material. Users are offered three main feeds on their app: following, friends, and for you. The following and friends feeds present users with content from people they have chosen to follow and who follow them back. But the for you feed is automatically generated by the app. This curated feed has become the main destination for users looking for new content and creators hungry for the millions of views TikTok videos can clock up if they go viral. Critics say the app collects more data than other social media platforms in order to power its highly personalized system. This can include information about users' location, device, the content they engage with, and keystroke rhythms they exhibit while typing. But popular social media apps such as Facebook and Instagram collect similar data from users. So we know that the federal court upheld the ban. That's an interesting text here. Good morning. TikTok is already banned in Australia. Secondary to bullying concerns, it probably is a good idea to do the same for all social media for children and teens up to 18 here in the Bahamas as well. When I joined Facebook Texter, it had a thing that said you have to say that you're 18 before you could join. The thing that stunned me most is to become aware of how many of my peers allowed their children, and now we're talking about my peers' grandchildren in some instances, to be on these social media platforms that when I joined them clearly indicated that they were for people 18 years and older. So the Federal Appeals Court upheld the law requiring the sale of or ban of TikTok. And it's a very interesting ruling. I'm going to read a quote from the ruling. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit denied TikTok's petition to overturn the law. which requires TikTok to break ties with its China-based company, and rebuffed the company's challenge of the statute, which it argued had ran afoul of the First Amendment. Quote, "The First Amendment exists to protect free speech in the United States," close quotes, said the court's opinion, which was written by Judge Douglas Ginsburg. Quote, "Here the government acted solely to protect that freedom from a foreign adversary nation and to limit the that adversary's ability to gather data on people in the United States," close quote. It's a very interesting quote, right? And so there are a number of factors or elements of this matter that we should be considering in the Bahamas and that we should expect policy statements to address in the Bahamas. If it is the issue, right? If it is that countries like India, Nepal, Somalia have banned it, if the UK has required that its staff, right, if the UK requires that its staff not have, in fact, I can read it again from the article, the UK government and parliament banned TikTok from staff work devices. The BBC also advised staff to delete TikTok from corporate phones. The European Commission also banned TikTok from staff work devices. Is this a serious national security concern? Another question, in the logistics of tourism, right? What happens if a Bahamian goes to the United States and has TikTok app downloaded on their phone? Is it possible that they could be denied entry? Will they be asked to remove it from their phone? Will a refusal to remove it from their phone affect their ability to travel or the validity, right? Like, could it cause their visa to be pulled? If it is considered a national security issue, is there potential that a Bahamian or a foreign national in the United States may face legal consequences if they're found using it, attempting to download it because they were unaware of the ban? Are we going to ban it also? Now, here's another consideration. Do you know how much government messaging is disseminated to the public via TikTok? Will the government be able to continue its work as it did if it bans TikTok? It used TikTok to share information with Bahamians in the diaspora, including Bahamians in the United States of America. All right, I'm going to read a couple more texts, and then we are going to transition. But first, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
How are you?
Well, it's unfortunate that we don't have, like, you know, some of the leaders we have just learned to use a computer the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have no idea what a complementary metal oxide field effect transistor is, or what the CMOS chip is, and who owns the patent for the chip, and how, if I own the patent for the chip, and the chip is used to maintain and retain all the memory on your machine, in your computer, on your cell phone, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am afraid that China could use that chip to wake up your phone and just siphon whatever they want off it, because you're using a phone that's made in China.
Mm-hmm.
Or Taiwan. That's still China. I mean, you know. So I don't think we are tech savvy enough. But what the U.S. want is for the Chinese TikTok to be replaced by an American TikTok.
Yeah, essentially.
So the smart thing to do is to, when that happens, get the American TikTok. Don't try going to the United States. Well, it wouldn't make a difference because that's just your phone. But, you know, you taking pictures and showing, like I say.
Right. Will you open yourself up to a scrutiny that is just not required, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So once that legislation is passed, I don't know if it's passed yet, just get the American version since you need to tick and talk.
Absolutely. But look here, let me ask you a question. Did you see this article in today's Tribune? Satellite providers in mobile, national security restrictions. Regulators are proposing that satellite communications providers must store Bahamas-generated national security laws given the industry's, quote, strong interest, close quotes, in entering this market.
I need to read it. it. No, I didn't read it.
I'm just saying, like, so, because I was having a couple of, trying to generate conversation, see if people in particular sectors were talking about this already, right? And they kind of fobbed me off. They kind of like, that ain't nothing. That we'll deal with that when we come to that. But I see that there's a discussion in today's paper that suggests that we should be talking about it.
Yes, we should. And, you know, get Sea Island and those on, because they are more knowledgeable in certain areas about, you know, eavesdropping and turning on your phone while it's off.
The technology that allows people to do that, yeah.
And people who own the patent for the chips that's on your phone. Don't forget that now.
Yeah, this is right.
And that place called China, that's not an honorable place.
Aye, man, come on now. You can't say it like that.
But
do the people say the Bahamas ain't an honorable place?
Well, okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's nuanced. It's far more nuanced than that.
Okay, well, you see, you know, if you just look at Facebook, just look at all of the other social media that we use.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. The minute you go and search for, like I've been searching for, sudden, I'm being fed electronic parts because they see my searches and they're feeding me because
mm-hmm.
they're selling my information to advertisers. So
now listen,
us already.
Now you know that we have, as a nation, we have the sovereign right to create policies, right? And we write Facebook and we say, listen, what y'all do normally, you can't do that here.
Yeah.
And we have legislated that you can't do that.
But, you know, in spite of legislation, there are countries that do not respect your legislative moves. They break the laws, period.
See, but, okay, so here's the thing, right?
Hmm?
It's up to us, the citizens, though, to take advantage of what's available to us. Because when the government or one of its agencies requires it, they will write Facebook. See, you have a relationship with Facebook, right?
Facebook banned me.
Oh, boy, not you, me. Okay, me. I have a relationship with Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And I may say and do things on Facebook that I do what I want according to Facebook's rules, right?
Yeah.
And then the government says, hey, listen, I know that I'm not Aaron's friend on Facebook, but I need to see someone on Aaron's Facebook account because I'm doing this little court case thing.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook will say, oh, you know that relationship that I have with Aaron? My relationship with you, with the government, it supersedes that. And I will give you access to Aaron's information. So what we need to do now is to demand legislation that better protects us.
Well, until then, look,
you got
WhatsApp, Facebook, let me see, Telegram, WeChat, Slack, Discord, Skype.
We could use WeChat here?
No, well...
Because that's Chinese, right?
You have to know how to do that. But the most secure one is Signal.
Okay.
That's the one that Edward Snowden uses. Now, if he's using it, why aren't we using it?
Because.
That's the
because.
Most secure.
Thank you very much, caller. Absolutely. I think it's something for us to think about. It is something that if we say we are part of the world, that we should be talking about. Oh, I see the texters. I got some texts here. People want to talk. Here's a text. More importantly, Trump wants to put an end to birthright citizenship. Birthright citizenship is not an inalienable right. Even in our Constitution, that's not what an inalienable right is. But I can tell you in a second. Which, since time of writing, has allowed Parliament to revoke it. See, an inalienable right is something that people can't take away. Right? That's what it is. Like, they could ignore it. They could pretend like it doesn't exist. But they can't take right. Citizenship is an inalienable right that states refuse to recognize. Right? Which is slightly different. It is not a constitutionally guaranteed right. You are correct. And Parliament has, well, our Constitution actually has been constructed in a way that virtually all of the rights that you have can be restricted, limited, or ignored for specific purposes. Now, when I say specific, what I mean is that they are listed in the Constitution. Some of them are extremely ambiguous. And one of the things I offered in the constitutional reform consultation process in 2013 is that the issue is not the rights that are granted or not granted, it's the ambiguity surrounding the state's capacity or ability to restrict said rights. And that is an important issue. No, Texter, you say, so birthright citizenship can be taken away. It was a construct of slavery. I think you're born there, you're born there is an indigenous construct, right? Before slavery, was it used? Was this thing used to further the elements of chattel slavery and the enslavement of Africans? Yes. More than likely, yes. All right, let's go. We got another text here. Any word yet on the suspects from the drug bust in Acklands over the weekend? Are they trying to hide their identity? I mean, like, I would like to imagine that when names are withheld, it is for the purpose of furthering a continuing or an existing investigation, right? But to be honest with you, I don't know if we're ever going to get their names. But what I do know is that if we as a civil society do not create and mobilize mechanisms, institutions to demand, to enable this type of disclosure, then we just can be sitting here typing back and forth, bang, banging, and being upset. Producer, we could go to the phone line, please. I got another text. I can get to you text in a second. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you, Ms. Green, Alan Johnson.
Morning. How you do?
I'm okay. You could just take anything technology off the table, anything from a global perspective. We don't deal with that stuff. We are consumers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Bahamas government will follow the U.S.'s lead, write and request that, or, you know, ban TikTok here and then write and request the app stores remove it from the Bahamas jurisdiction? Do you think they're going to do that?
We have to change our data laws to capture the various different services that lands here. In fact, I've given up even reading the amendments to our data laws going back from maybe a decade or long ago, from 2004. Mm-hmm. Because I just basically know what it requires, and it will be always more extensive than a couple of sheets of paper that they speak on, considering that we live in a digital environment. We generate gigabytes and gigabytes of data on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, for instance, you have countries, remember, one of the South American countries that ban X?
Yeah.
Almost every couple of months you hear Google and others being called in the UK and other countries to watch them being fined millions and millions of dollars.
Russia just fined, is it Google, like 80 gazillion, quadrillion dollars?
Not right, because this is for misuse and on how data is stored, how it's used, and everything else. People have heard me spoke for over a decade concerning the fact that we have the ability to give a form of constitutional privacy to data, which would then make all of those individuals, all of the data that are collected in the Bahamas, who, whatever rules we set here. In fact, we could do like as you do and give individuals digital citizenship, which is not the same as the one that void citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, their data would then come under our jurisdiction, which will be a combination of the GDPR, which is the UK, and the data, and the, let's say, California data, where you have a right to even demand that data be deleted. So just consider a billion people giving us a dollar a year or $2 a year to protect their data and monetize it the way ASCAP and the rest of them do, where individuals will be able to say, if you're going to make money for my data, then I should be able to get part of that chunk, a little change, or shingles, as the PLT would say.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that we have leadership that, you know, we haven't put in even the digital infrastructure for the way we are, because, you know, look at these days' papers with the economy falling apart. And one of the most important part of those growing economies is more so that those developing countries are succeeding. They have a digitization, a digitalization, datification, and a digital transformation strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask for these type of things here. In fact, we cannot grow this economy any further. We've seen that for the whole 23 years of the 21st century, that the economy has not grown, while the whole any economy that embraced digitization or the technological aspect of it has grown exponentially. Mm-hmm. So the problem that we have is this lack of leadership that understands that the world is data right now. Literally, the fuel of the world is data, oil is secondary.
Absolutely.
And we just need a leadership team that understands data the way it is. And the fact that all of these social media platforms in the Bahamas is collecting data on us, monetizing the data, exploiting the data, and we have to have laws that actually captures the data to the rules in the Bahamas. But yes, to catch to that,
yes,
not to hold you,
mm-hmm.
doing that will require the country itself to be datafied. And that means like the police records and the emails of the members of parliament and their communications and all of those things would also be captured inside of that. And so it then brings about transparency, accountability, integrity, and anti-corruption. And then you would have a really good freedom of information. And so the question is, if we have a culture of corruption and criminality, the last thing you want is a permanent record of those actions.
I get you.
So if we are to fix the country, then this whole, you have people just, this is what's interesting. Imagine that you're asking for the freedom of information and nothing is digitized. Who's going to go in the basement with the mole and mildew and everything else and mm-hmm. find the file or look through every folder to find whatever?
I would if they pay me. I don't get it. I know about 17 people who would if they were getting paid.
Right. But see, and so, but we don't, we talk it a lot and we like the buzzwords, like we like to use like innovation,
mm-hmm.
no creativity, which is the basis for innovation, and on and on and on. And these things sounds good, state of the art and all those different things, but those are just buzzwords. And this is why we're suffering the strategic economic development that we're experiencing in the Bahamas. But rest assured, I have confidence that in 2026, we will have an administration that at least pay attention
to the needs. At least pay attention to it. Thank you, C. Allen Johnson.
Thank you much.
Thank you very, very much. All right, we got lots more. I think I just see this headline says, Moment of Truth Over Controversial Pilot Test. The Bahamas Aviation Regulators Board will meet today at 1 p.m. with the Deputy Prime Minister to determine how it will proceed over a controversial exam that has sparked fears of a pilot shortage. I just want to draw a pin to the Bahamian Aviation Regulators Board will meet with the Minister responsible for tourism investments in aviation, right? That's who they're meeting with because we don't have a Deputy Prime Minister. See, like, I'm trying to figure out how is it that y'all are trying to have a conversation about corruption? And I can read the headline, Texter, two headlines. PM, U.S. hasn't given corrupt officials ID, and PM, our reputation unfairly tarnished. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you accusing people of unfairly tarnishing our reputation? Because surely this Aviation Regulators Board is meeting with the minister responsible for aviation. Because we don't have a deputy prime minister. The Constitution does not provide for the office. What function do they play? How have we allowed politics to import itself into governance and refuse to acknowledge how it has bastardized the system and diminished your capacity to govern? Anyway, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk John Canoe, and we're going to talk just quickly. Somebody, $185 million deficit in first quarter of fiscal year. We'll be right back. If only my dreams,
only in my dreams. Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let's bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. but we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Then they Lumpkin, the customers love the red suit. You think you can heist them find something a little more? We need to see more socks. But before you go, look at, I got some specials going on for the sale. I got two set of 12 by 12 and four set of 18 by 18 tile. Now the 12 by 12 Al Blanc Gray Alcala going for $215 a square foot. Now I got three 18 by 18 flagstone style and a high gloss gray and beige tile for $203 a square foot. But what you doing, Lumpkin?
I'm looking for one pin.
Sale ends December 21st.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I remember when I was a little boy. I used to say, if and when I grow up, I wanted to find myself a woman. But I wanted the kind of woman that would love, want, and need me as much as my mama want, loved, and needed my daddy. I said to myself, I said, if I'm lucky enough to find this kind of woman, I'll never go away and leave my woman the way he went away and left his. Yeah. Well, I found me one. I found the kind of woman that I dreamed of finding as a little boy. And that's why I'll make every day seem like Christmas. For my woman.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. Just a producer, I thought we was going in a totally different direction with that song. What a wonderful song. I thought I found a love like that too, called the Valley Boys, but every year they keep forsaking me. I got a caller on the line. Let's go quickly. Caller, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Miss Green.
Morning, how are you?
I hope you're doing well.
Good.
You sound that way. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about the Constitution.
Okay.
If you will allow me.
Sure.
Because I heard you were talking about certain rights being suspended.
Well, limited.
The Constitution is very specific. I don't find anything ambiguous in the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
That's cool. That's okay. But listen, let's talk about Chapter 3, Article 26, 4C, right? And that says that the state is permitted, right, to discriminate in matters permitting to personal law, marriage, divorce, dissolution of a state, et cetera, burial, et cetera, right? And
okay.
it gives the grounds. They could discriminate for the purpose of good
governance. Yes, ma'am.
Good governance,
okay, well,
is ambiguous.
When it comes to the individual rights of a particular personality,
mm-hmm.
that right cannot supersede the rights of the majority of the people.
This is true.
So
it has to be balanced. There has to be balance.
Definitely at what the article you're saying. If in that sense the government is discriminating, I have to look at that a little bit more closely. But I do know
mm-hmm.
that the rights of the individual can continue on unabated unless there is a problem that may happen in a given constituency, in a given area, and the state has to take appropriate action for the protection of the greater good, meaning the majority of the people.
Like, for instance, someone may decide that they are linked to the indigenous cultural practice and heritage, and they want to bury their loved ones in their backyard. And the government says, listen, you have this right of freedom of conscience, association, right? These freedoms that sort of constitute a freedom to and of religion. But there's a greater public health safety concern.
Yeah, that is correct.
Right? Now, in the same instance, in terms of marriage, the government could, if it wanted to, say, look here, we ain't letting Catholics and Baptists marry up, you know. The mixing of religious rules has caused too much friction in the household, and we see too much domestic violence. So, right now, if you're Anglican, you gotta marry an Anglican. If you're Muslim, you gotta marry a Muslim. They could do it. And and when you go to the court to challenge it, the court could say to you, listen, it is discrimination, but the state is permitted. See, that's the same thing they told me in the matter of same-sex marriage, right?
Yes.
The ban that exists on same-sex marriage right now is a discrimination that the state is permitted to carry out. And if I went before the court and say, hey, the marriage license office refused to give me a license to marry another person who is also female,
yes.
The court can say, Ms. Green, that is discrimination, I see it. But guess what? The state is permitted to discriminate in matters like these, right? And so it's a fascinating space. It's not black and white. This is what you are bringing to the table is correct. It ain't black and white. It's nuanced, but most of all, we go to the Constitution. The Constitution tells us, right? And then we move from there. And I appreciate those sentiments that you raised today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much. And I'm going to look at it a little bit more closely.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, 26, 4C.
So I can share it for the light to the general public. Because, see, these things have to be looked at very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I go over it, I get a little bit more enlightenment than I had before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because some things, Ms. Green, you might miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give any misleading information to the public because the Constitution right now is not fully understood by the vast majority of our people.
Mm-hmm.
There are consistent violations of the Constitution by those who have been given the authority to govern
mm-hmm.
this country.
And
they have not corrected that problem.
And there have been mechanisms that exist, whether they were put in place for this purpose, that become barriers, right, to being able to access kind of like the Constitution. So, for instance, a constitutional principle is that law that is passed by Parliament is deemed to be good law until it is shown, proven to be in contravention to the Constitution. But to do
that's where Article 2 kicks in.
Right,
now, some will tell you it have to go through the court.
Yeah.
But I ain't got time to wait through no court.
I ain't got the money. You the time, I ain't got the money.
If they have laws that are passed in the House right now, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
recent laws that have been passed that violate the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
lock, stock, and barrel.
Mm-hmm. But it requires somebody to take that law to the court, right? Like, I think it's judicial review, right? But you go and you say, hey, this law is bad law. Let me show you how it contravenes the Constitution and why it must be struck down, or parts of it must be struck down.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that.
No, yeah.
I see that point. You have to take that course of action, which means you have to take legal action against the government.
Yes.
That's what you would have to do. Yeah, you're quite right on that.
Thank you so much.
Anyhow, I appreciate you taking my call, and the show has been quite enlightening.
Thank you.
And there are just so many issues, Ms. Green, that the country is confronted with, and we don't want to get confused.
Yeah.
You got to stay on target.
Yeah.
But thanks very much, and have a pleasant morning.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Here's a text. Hi, Ms. Green. I'm listening from Canada, and you made me so proud of you when you recognized there is no DPM. A lot of people keep saying DPM when it does not exist. Love your show. And in the context of, like, corruption, right? These are the conversations. Is it that the system is corrupt and corrupts everything in it? Or is it that corrupt elements are able to engage in corruption within the system? Is it that the system itself is weak and enables or cannot prevent this? Or is it that we just have elements in our society that are savvy enough to work around even the strongest systems? Here's another text. Ooh, Good morning. Please help me out with this Junkanoo thing. So on December 1st or 2nd, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the world-famous Valley Boys group that the Registrar General was wrong to remove its name from the Registrar Texter. I'm not even certain, the way I read it, I'm not certain that that's what the ruling was. I'm going to keep this text. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, Texter. I'm going to record it. We're going to keep it for tomorrow's show. Bowleg confident Junkanoo parades will happen. Another headline, Ferguson says all Junkanoo groups support withdrawal. Cancel it then. Cancel it. Cancel it. Y'all do that. Y'all stay playing war. Y'all ain't no gangsters. Y'all stay playing war. For what and with whom? Tomorrow as well, we're going to talk about this thing, right? Where special interest groups think that they can use the Bahamian people to engage and negotiate with the government. But you can't do that, A, without coming to the Bahamian people first, and B, without recognizing that in the past, you had relationships that benefited you because of your proximity to the same government you want us to help you fight. What a time. And then again, this headline, I can't forget it, $185 million deficit in first quarter of fiscal year. We can talk about all of these things tomorrow, too. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, AM with C.A. Newry, is up next.
Love you, my dear. Come on, baby. Come to me. Come to me. Let me wrap you in my loving arms. Yeah. Everything is gonna make every day Christmas for your woman. There'll be times when I won't be able to afford a piece of mistletoe, but I'll kiss her so sweetly and I'll hold her so gently. Won't even know.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.